It's Chris Mack with you on a Sunday morning until 9 o'clock. Dan Zangrilli will be along then. Colin Dunlap at 11. Ron Cook and Joe Starkey separately later this afternoon, as we do everything we can to, well, plug the holes in the schedule because our weekenders can't get into the building because there's a limited number of people allowed in the building now. And the technology that's been dispersed to all of us to work from home, well, there's only so much of it to go around. Nonetheless, I thought, as you heard Kevin Gorman with me a couple minutes ago, Doran Dickerson coming up in about 15 or 20 minutes here on 93.7 The Fan. He will join me on the phone as well, and it's a Sunday morning, which means you're usually grinding with our friend Josh Taylor. Instead, he joins me on the Fan Hotline right now, brought to you by the workers' compensation law firm of Hall and Capitas. Morning, Josh. How you doing, bud?
Doing all right, Chris. Good to talk to you again.
And good to have you on what is traditionally your time slot here on a Sunday morning. How are you and your better half and the pup and everybody else hanging in there? How are you guys handling things the last few weeks?
It's actually been kind of surreal. We're handling it better than I thought we would, because my wife is actually used to working from home. She works from home probably a few days a week as it is, depending on the situation. Me, I'm used to, you know, doing the day job from home too, so it's kind of an easier thing for the two of us. The one who's really, like, loving life right now is the dog. She's got someone home with her all day long. She's got someone to walk her at any given time should the need arise. Yeah. And she's got someone around. So she's got constant attention and constant companionship, and she's got no worries. But between the three of us, I think we're all doing pretty good with it, because I think it's just the fact that it's happening every day now as opposed to a couple days a week. But we're all hanging in there. We're doing okay.
Dogs are living the life right now, man. They're getting like four and five walks a day. They're outside constantly. They're living the dream, man.
I saw a great tweet. Someone said, man, all these dogs are going to have serious separation anxiety in like 6 weeks. And they're absolutely
yes.
right. Mine would lose her mind if we both had to like go back to work like during the day and be gone from the house. She will go insane. That tweet was not wrong.
Let me ask you this on a serious note. Your wife is from New York originally. So how is her family doing? How much has she communicated with friends and family back there in New York City, where really the outbreak has been the strongest?
Everybody's doing good. She actually does something I think that's pretty cool. She gets on with her cousins between whether Google Duo or WhatsApp. They have like the video chat, and they kind of do like a big joint chat between all of them. I think it's like seven of them between her sister and her cousins. They're all kind of spread out. Her sister's in Florida. She has a couple cousins in New York. One is in Maryland. One is in Florida also. And they all kind of get together on a video chat and goof around. And they even started doing like a big group game of Heads Up. It's kind of ridiculous, but it's super loud because my wife's family is just loud by nature. Then again, so is mine. But that's how they do it. They do a nice big video chat and everything, and that's how we keep up with my in-laws too. So they found, you know, some ways to kind of get around to everything. So between that and just talking on the phone, they find ways to get their FaceTime in. And we just did a video chat with my in-laws on Friday. We actually were hanging out with my mom. We went to visit her and make sure she was okay, and brought her some dinner, and then we did a video chat with my in-laws. So it was actually pretty cool to check in with them, and you know, they're finding creative ways to stay in touch with everybody.
Good. I know you're both extremely close with your respective families, so it's good to hear that everybody's healthy and staying as close as possible. Before I know this could devolve into like a 20-minute conversation about Mitch Hedberg jokes, and I'm sure you guys are watching Tiger King, and I'm sure we could break down into that for God knows how long, but let's talk baseball for just a couple minutes. We'll keep things serious so the boss doesn't get too mad at us. Let me ask you about the most recent thing I've heard, and Scott Boras had a crazy proposal last week. Maybe it wasn't crazy. I don't know. People want to get as much baseball in as possible. The players have said, we want to play as much as possible when we're allowed to play again. We don't care about the 20 games in 20 days rule. We'll go through that. We don't care if we're playing in front of empty ballparks or at neutral sites. We just want to play ball when we're finally given a chance to play again. And with that said, the most recent thing we heard was in Bob Nightingale's column yesterday when he talked to Tony Clark of the Players Association, that we could legitimately be looking at a World Series, again, maybe at neutral sites, maybe who knows where they'll play it or how they'll format the playoffs, but we could be talking about a World Series as late as Thanksgiving. as a baseball fan, I know we're in agreement. We want to see as much baseball as possible. Do you have any concerns, though, about the quality of baseball we're going to see if we're talking about two doubleheaders a week and 30-man rosters and starters only going three or four innings for the first month or so of the season?
I do. There's going to have to be adjustments for them to have some kind of semblance of a quality. And more importantly, how long are they going to take to prepare? You know, how much time are they going to get? Are they going to get a month? Are they going to get 6 weeks? But they're going to have to go from, you know, having started themselves up to completely slamming on the brakes to starting themselves up again and then trying to ramp up. And, I mean, that's another thing. But depending on when they start, when would these guys really find their groove? Let's say they started on July 1st, just for a nice round number. When would they finally get to their groove? Maybe September, maybe Labor Day? I mean, when is everything really going to start to find its groove? So, like you mentioned, the quality of the play is going to be in question. And I think it's really important that they look at how they adjust things. I think looking at starters' hitting limits is important. I think having a 30-man roster is important because they're going to have to try to figure out how to play all these games without these guys totally falling apart, without pitchers' arms falling off. And, you know, this is where managers really will have to do their jobs. They'll have to manage bullpens well. They'll have to do well with double switcher rules in the National League. This is where it becomes a lot more important. And I think, honestly, if you're an American League team, you kind of have an advantage because you could pick a guy that if you want to sit him that day and not put him in the field, you're going to make that guy your DH. And all he's got to do is hit that day. This is where that advantage really comes into play. So, yeah, the quality of play might suffer, but if you're an American League team, you probably have a little bit more of an advantage just because of that thing alone. And that kind of comes back around to why I've always been frustrated with the fact that the two leagues aren't similar, because regardless of what you want to say of how each league does what, one will always have that distinct advantage, especially in this particular situation.
You know, it's a great point you bring up about the DH. There's been lots of talk, whether it's Joe Maddon, whether it's Scott Boras, whether it's Tony Clark. There's been a ton of people talking about, hey, maybe this is a year where we try some different things because we're going to be racing to get games in. Maybe we talk about, you know, doubleheaders with seven-inning games instead of nine-inning games. Maybe we're talking about putting guys on second at the start of every extra inning to try and shorten games. But what would really go a long way towards extending rosters and I guess, preserving guys' bodies, if you're talking about trying to race through 80 or 100 games in a matter of three and a half months, would be just instituting the DH in the National League this year.
I think that's the perfect way to start it. It's a good way to do that. Here's another thing that might be able to just cover all bases and kind of make it a little bit more universal. Adapt a college-type approach to it. College baseball has a much different approach because really the whole premise for college baseball and how the schedule works out, it really is to do two things. You're trying to get as many games in as possible, but they're also trying to get as many guys the opportunity to play both during the week when usually the non-conference games are during the week, which I'm sure you know, you've done PA announcing for baseball, and then the conference games are on the weekend. So let's say you have maybe a couple games that aren't maybe division games during the week. You have the bigger games on the weekend. Not that the schedule has to be the same, but that doesn't mean you can't approach it the same way. You might be able to get away with doubleheaders of seven innings. You might be able to get away with, you know, using the DH in the National League. But something else I think comes into mind. Let's say you have a game where both teams use a bunch of pitchers because it goes in extra innings. You should be able to bring guys up from AAA without having to worry about whether or not they go through waivers or whether or not, you know, they're on the 40-man roster. That's another thing that's going to have to come into play. You're going to have to try to have some flexibility as far as whom you can bring up from the minors if necessary and just how quickly you can bring them down or bring them up and send them back down, because that's going to become an issue too.
That's a great point. The roster limits, you can expand rosters as much as you want. You're still going to have to do a whole lot of maneuvering in order to keep guys fresh if you're trying to race through as many games as they're going to have to try and race through. Okay, back to the fun stuff. Not that baseball isn't fun, and baseball will be a ton of fun once we get to actually watch baseball again, hopefully later this summer. How much time have you spent on Netflix during the pandemic, during your hold-up time at home?
I've actually done a really good job of spacing it in between Netflix, a little bit of Disney Plus, because my wife and I are doing a Marvel marathon. We're doing all the Marvel movies. So we're kind of spacing out between that. A couple things I got on demand, a couple things I got on DVR. So so I have not really gotten into the Netflix loop yet. I have not gotten into that time loop where I just can't suck myself out.
So have you watched Tiger King yet?
No, but it is on my list of things to watch, because everything I hear is just like, everybody's like, you got to watch the show. And I'm like, okay, I got to sit down and devote time to it and watch it, because I have not met a single person who hasn't been completely blown away by this.
I almost didn't sleep last night so I could get through it. We have one episode left. I literally got like 5 hours of sleep last night because we stayed up and watched Tiger King all the way through to the very last episode. It is just mind-bending. I can't even describe it to you, Josh. I have to highly recommend it. It's not as good as, say, a Mitch Hedberg joke, such as, you know, I find that Duck's opinions of me is very much influenced by whether or not I have bread.
I'd say this much. There are a few things that are as good as the Mitch Hedberg joke, and to steal his words, I think I'm pretty good at tennis, but I'll never be as good as a wall because they're relentless. So, I mean, we're looking at it that way.
It was good to catch up with you. Stay healthy. Take care of your better half and that pup and your family when you get an opportunity to see them or talk to them. Glad to hear everyone's doing well, and I'll look forward to getting you guys back on the air soon.
Thanks, Chris. Wishing all the best to you and yours as well.
All right, thanks, Josh. Josh Taylor grinding with us on a Sunday morning here on 93.7 The Fan. You'd usually hear him in this time slot on Sunday mornings more often than not, but as I've mentioned a couple of times for those that are just checking in, our weekenders are just being limited. We're limited in how many people we can let into the building, and then obviously we only have so much technology to go around to hook us up to do shows from home. So those of us who are hooked up to do shows from home are doing them from home, and I thought, you know what, all these guys on the weekend who work so hard all week at whatever they're doing and then get an opportunity to talk to you on the weekends, you still want to hear their voices a little bit, and I'd like to give them an opportunity to chime in. So thanks to Josh for making a couple of minutes this morning. Thanks to Kevin Gorman for checking in earlier, about a half hour ago. If you missed that and you want to hear Gormy, use the rewind feature on your radio.com app and just cycle back through. Go listen to anything over the last 24 hours. Radio.com and 93.7 The Fan doing our part to help keep Pittsburgh connected. Go to our radio.com app right now, as I mentioned. Get ideas to help you during this stay-at-home time, or just go to radio.com/stay connected. You can follow along with all the fun we're having on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Jim Shorkey Kia, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Shop all three locations at ShorkeyKia.com. Still confused about what cereal I may have when the show's over. Go to Twitter. We're having an extensive conversation about it over there right now. Doran Dickerson joins me next. If there's anybody that can speak to how easy or, well, difficult it may be to go from position to position and show versatility at the NFL level, especially for somebody working in a tight end or fullback or H-back type roles, we were talking about with Derek Watt earlier, I think Doran may be able to speak on that, don't you think? We'll talk to him next here on 93.7 The Fan. Chris Mack with you here on this Sunday morning until 9 o'clock. Dan Zangrilli takes over at that point. Colin Dunlap with you from 11 to 1. Ron Cook and Joe Starkey separate later in the afternoon as we're all practicing our social distancing by doing shows from our homes, and that means our weekenders can't get into the building. We're trying to keep everybody separate, and therefore I've decided to have a few of them on with me here on the phone this morning. Had Kevin Gorman earlier, Josh Taylor about 25 minutes ago. Like I mentioned, you can always use the rewind feature on your radio.com app to go back and listen to those conversations. You can always text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminding you to text responsibly. Typically, if you want to have a conversation about football, it's best to have a conversation with somebody who knows football. If you can find somebody who's also played the game of football at a particularly high level, that helps as well. If it just so happens that they are a huge fan of Mace, famed mid-90s rapper, then that also helps, which means I got all of the best worlds when I got Doran Dickerson on the line. Morning, Doran.
Good morning, Chris. I take it you saw my little post I just posted from whenever I was in fifth grade. With the Mace,
I did.
Spelling it wrong. That's great.
Yes. The fact that Terrell Davis and Peter Forsberg were your favorite athletes at that point in time is really impressive. Mrs. Claus had to look at you and know she had a special young man on her hands.
Yes, absolutely. And I love how I put that spelling was my favorite subject in school, and I misspelled, I think, Mace and football, but I spelled Peter Forsberg's name right. Thanks.
Oh, man. I want to talk football with you in just a minute, but let me ask this. How are you and your family handling things at home? How is everybody feeling? Everybody in your life healthy right now?
Yeah, we're doing good. And I appreciate you asking. With a new baby, he's about a month old now. Actually, we've been having some decent days outside. So we've been getting outside, doing some yard work, having the kids run around. So we're doing pretty good and trying to figure out things to do to keep each other busy. But all in all, it's going good. I hope you and your family are doing well.
Yeah, we are doing well. Thank you so much. And I'm glad to hear that everybody is feeling well and getting as much of the fresh air as you can. I know we've been doing the same. And last night, we did a little inside. I was forced into playing Just Dance, which was horrifically embarrassing. I'm glad I drew the blinds on the front room where we were playing it, because I didn't need people walking by and seeing me doing that, because it was bad. If you're ever really looking to have your kids strip your dignity in the most efficient way possible, it's them asking you to play Just Dance.
Yeah, I've seen people do those dances on the phone and on social media, and I'm like, there's no way that my kids could get me to do that. And watch, I know one day I'm going to be doing it.
I know. I saw Ramon doing a TikTok the other day with his whole family. I'm not doing it. I am not. I've had a hard enough time understanding how Snapchat works. I'm not getting into TikTok, too. It's not happening. Let me ask you this, to get into the football conversation I wanted to have with you. There's been a lot of talk since the Derek Watt signing was announced, I guess about 5-6 days ago, that it's going to be imperative that he make more of an impact than just on special teams. I tend to agree with that. I'd like to see them get back to using the fullback a little bit more, and if he can be that guy for them, fantastic. But I also had the thought, I know Mark Caboli wrote about it this weekend as well, and if there's anyone who could talk about having to be versatile at working in at different positions and learning different positions, even at high levels of football, it's you. How much can Derek Watt have an impact as kind of an H-back tight end piece who might not put his hand down in the dirt and work really as an inline blocking tight end, but just to be out on the field in those kind of situations where you do need three tight ends on the field and you need someone else behind Vance McDonald and Eric Ebron, is it legitimate that we're thinking about him in that way, or is there really too much more to it that he may not be able to make that adjustment so easily?
Oh, 100% that's exactly what the route that they're probably going to go with Derek Watt. I mean, you're paying the guy $3 million a year, and I've never seen anybody in the NFL get paid $3 million a year to play, what, like 6 snaps of offense and probably how many snaps of special teams a game. So they're going to use him. They're going to get his worth out of him. Whenever I was in the league, what I would do is that whenever I went to a new team, I would go and I would talk to the head coach and be like, listen, I can play fullback, and that will help you out with the roster. That means that you could keep an extra DB. You could keep an extra receiver. You don't have to keep a traditional fullback on the roster, because I could play those 5 to 6 plays a game and also play tight end. And that benefited me as a bubble player, a guy trying to make a team. And also it's going to benefit a guy in the Steelers that's making $3 million a year. You're going to see him on 3rd-and-1 lead blocking, or even going out in the flat. You're going to see him on the goal line. So even though that he's not a traditional tight end, I mean, he could play the wing. You know, he could play the wing off of the tight end. He could motion out into the slot if they need him to. So you're going to see him. And now they don't have to keep an extra tight end on the roster, so he can fill that void, is kind of what I'm getting at. So it really helps both sides, Derek Watt being a player on the offense and the Steelers trying to move forward with what they want to do.
There were comparisons made by Anthony Lynn last year when Watt was still with the Chargers to kind of like a Dallas Clark type role. Is that something that still exists in the league today, or have tight ends become too much of like just another slot receiver in so many cases? Travis Kelce, even George Kittle to an extent. And can that transition happen as easily as maybe, like, I oversimplified in my head and think, hey, if you can play fullback, you can probably play like a wing tight end and there not be that much more that you have to know at any given time. But is it more difficult of a transition than I'm making it out to be?
No, but the Steelers are seeming to be in the right direction. So, like, you know, coaches salivate over that complete tight end, that Gronk, you know, that tight end, that Heath Miller, the guy that can block, the guy that can, you know, lead block, that he can inline block, he can catch, he can run routes. They salivate over guys like that. And like you said, that position is kind of going away. It's more of the flex tight end, the more the Eric Ebrons of the world. And whenever you get a guy like Derek Watt to come in and he could be so versatile, I mean, you're going to use him in a lot of different ways. But the Steelers seem to be trending in a direction where they don't need that one guy to be a complete tight end. You're going to have Vance, you're going to have Eric Ebron, and you're going to have Derek Watt. All three of those guys are good at one thing, and that makes a complete tight end room. So I love, even though Derek Watt is listed as a fullback, he will play tight end, but that makes a complete tight end room, in my opinion. So I love the way they're trending in that area.
Doran Dickerson with us here on 93.7 The Fan. Chris Mack with you until 9 o'clock this morning. Let's talk about Ebron for a second, because we didn't really get a chance to talk about him since they made that signing official. How do you expect him? You mentioned him being more of a flex tight end. He's not known for his blocking. We've already heard from the quote unquote unnamed scouts who don't think that who don't see a Heath Miller type tight end in there. And I think that's fairly obvious. But do you think he gets used more in the red zone? Is he going to be on the field more than we expect? Less than we expect? And will they devise ways to use him in non-traditional tight end manners, perhaps just lining him up in the slot as a wide receiver?
See, like that's the funky part about, looking at a guy that's as athletic like Eric Ebron. He's 6'4", 255 pounds, can run. He's a big body. People say he doesn't like to block. He's not the blocker. But if you are a defense and you go in and you're running your nickel defense, whenever you bring an extra DB on the field to cover a guy like that, he's going to block a DB. You know, he's going to be willing to block somebody smaller than him. So you're in a funky position if you're a defensive coordinator of what defense you want to run whenever he's on the field. So because you don't want to line him up with linebackers one-on-one, he's going to win that matchup every day. So you want to have a more athletic person. And then if you do bring in, like I said, if you do bring in the extra DB who's smaller, probably about, 5'10", 195 pounds, he's going to pancake him all day. I don't care how tough or soft he is as a blocker. I mean, he's 6'4", 255 pounds, and then you can run the ball. So that's going to be a lot of pressure on the defenses of how to attack a guy like that and really cover him whenever he is in the game. So I do see him being in the game a lot, especially in the red zone. I mean, who are you going to put on him? Are you going to put a smaller guy? You're going to put a linebacker? You're going to put a safety? So it's really on the defenses to figure it out.
Yeah, Doran Dickerson with us here on 93.7 The Fan. Just a couple more minutes, we talk football, and we can goof around some as well. I'm just glad to have you guys on the air with me today for just a few more minutes. Let's talk about, I think it's a rash overreaction the Ravens are having to getting steamrolled by Derrick Henry in the playoffs, but they've undergone a complete makeover of their defensive line. Of course, there was the Chris Wormley trade, trading him to the Steelers. They went out and got Calais Campbell from the Jags. They let Michael Pierce go to Minnesota in free agency, and now they've picked up Derek Wolfe from the Broncos. Do you get the sense, and it's not just about the Ravens specifically, but I think any team that falls short of expectations in the playoffs always seems to hone in on one weakness in particular that they look at and then seemingly overreact to the following offseason. Do you get that sense with the Ravens in that they're overreacting to getting steamrolled by Derrick Henry in the playoffs, and now that seems to be their only focus in the offseason is what do we do with our defensive line, or is it necessary that they make these changes?
I think it's a little bit of both. And Harbaugh, he's a guy, and I know that they were probably extremely upset. I mean, who wouldn't be? But weren't they, ended their year last year? They probably thought they were going to go a lot farther with Lamar Jackson. But to me, whenever I look at things that happen in the offseason like this, like you said, with the D-line, it's all about field position. And everything revolves around Lamar Jackson, whether it's special teams, defense, offense. It still revolves around Lamar Jackson. And if he can get guys that can rush the passer or stop the run, you know, that creates different field position. That creates all kinds of different things for the offense. So I think it's a little bit of both. I think he may be overreacting a little bit, but they want to make a run, and they want to make a run soon because, honestly, I think that they think that Lamar Jackson is honestly one hit away of being out of the game. And he was healthy last year, and just the way he runs, just the way he attacks, and just the different things that he does as a quarterback, I think that they know that they have to get him in there and get to a Super Bowl as soon as possible before his wear and tear starts happening to his body.
Okay, let me ask you this, to steer away from football now for just a minute before I let you run. It's early on a Sunday morning. I imagine the kids are up already. I'm sure the baby has been up at some point in the middle of the night. I get the feeling that those of us, and this isn't a knock on people who don't have kids. I don't want to make it that. But I get a feeling that those who don't have kids have spent a lot more time and have had a lot more free time to spend with their significant other, or maybe even by themselves, just watching Netflix and binging shows and movies over the last couple of weeks, because that's been like the popular thing to talk about. But for those of us with kids, it feels to me like we've been, like you mentioned, we've been outside watching the kids run around and playing wiffle ball and doing games and all this kind of, watching them ride their bikes. Have you had a chance to binge anything at all on Netflix or watch anything, or do you feel like you've just been outside constantly entertaining the kids like I have?
You know what? I actually have had the chance of watching two shows already, which is like, I mean, it's
nice.
It's a monumental moment in my house, because Rochelle and I never get a chance to watch the shows anymore, because obviously, like you said, we're busy. So we finished Narcos, which is an unbelievable show, and we finished that new show, The Tiger King. I don't know if you watched that yet.
Okay, so I was talking about Tiger King earlier with Josh Taylor. He hasn't gotten into it yet. I literally stayed up till almost midnight last night, even though I had to be on at 7 this morning. My wife and I worked all the way through. We've got one episode left of Tiger King. It is, I don't know if it would be, here's a thought, I don't know if it would be nearly as popular if it weren't for the fact that everyone's stuck at home watching a ton of TV right now.
Oh, I agree. At first I was like, all right, what am I about to watch? And then halfway through I'm like, okay, I can see what some of the hype is about, but then I'm like, okay, well, if I wasn't home, stuck at home, this would be just another show. But it is kind of weird. I ain't going to lie. It is kind of messed up.
If it weren't for a pandemic, I don't know if I would waste 7 hours of my life binging The Tiger King. But it's definitely something. Once you get two or three episodes in, you feel committed, and you just got to finish the thing out.
Yeah, and no spoilers, but, I mean, I think we could all agree about something about Carol.
Yes. I mean, it's crazy as the Tiger King is, he's dead right on that one thing. Like, there's no doubt it went down like that.
No doubt about it that it went down like that. I mean, it was just as clear as day that that's exactly what happened, and that's all on her.
And I think we did a pretty good job of talking around spoilers there. Excellent work, Dorn.
Absolutely. Yeah, good.
All right, man. Stay healthy. Give that family a big hug from the rest of us. It's good to hear your voice, even if just for a couple of minutes on the phone. And we'll catch up again soon, okay?
Yeah, you're the man, Chris. Thanks for having us on, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. Dorn Dickerson with me here on 93.7 The Fan. Again, had Josh Taylor on at the top of the hour. Kevin Gorman before that at about 7:40. You want to go back, use the rewind feature on your radio.com app to listen to any of those conversations. You can go ahead and do so. Whether you're stuck at home with, I don't know, maybe you got nothing to do. Maybe you feel like you got a million things to do because you're running around with the kids and trying to keep them busy. Maybe you don't have kids. Maybe you're just working hard. Maybe you're driving a truck around. Even now on a Sunday morning, you're doing your best to keep the rest of us going. Maybe you're a healthcare worker. Maybe you're a sanitation worker, a janitor, somebody who has to go into work and can't stay holed up at home like the rest of us. We thank you for taking those necessary risks and going out and doing what you have to do so that the rest of us can stay home and play it safe. Can't thank those of you enough who are out there doing the essential things as opposed to the rest of us doing the non-essential things, like me sitting down in my basement doing a radio show right now. We appreciate everything you're doing for us. We hope we can provide you just a little bit of a distraction here on a Sunday morning on 93.7 The Fan, and as we continue to try and get through things here. I mentioned in the conversation there with Dorn something the Ravens have seemingly focused on. Not just that, but something their owner said as well over the last week. Some news out of Baltimore both regarding football and the timing of when we may see football again. That's all coming up next here on 93.7 The Fan. Interesting thoughts from Baltimore, as well as thoughts relating to Baltimore's football team. We'll get to those in just a minute. But I tweeted this out earlier. I'm not typically a breakfast eater, and I'm certainly not typically a cereal eater. Like, I like breakfast food, right? Like, there's nothing better than when you can get, like, a nice omelet and with some cheese and some bacon. Oh, yeah, maybe throw a little pancake on the side, some sausage. Okay, yeah, I'll do breakfast. Love breakfast food. But typically, I don't eat breakfast, especially during the week, until we're off the air by, like, 10 o'clock. It's all coffee until we get off the air. It's a weird thing. I don't know. Started as an intermittent fasting thing, and it's just become a regular thing. So I'm not typically a cereal eater, but I just realized how many different breakfast cereals we have in this house. Because I'm broadcasting from home, and I looked in the pantry this morning, and I asked the question. I took a picture of all the cereals we have in the pantry, and I just said, hey, what's if you had to choose from these, which would it be? So there's Corn Flakes, your standard regular old Corn Flakes. There's Crispy Rice, which is just the Aldi generic version of Rice Krispies. Same thing with Cocoa Rice, which is, again, the generic version of your Cocoa Krispies. There's Frosted Flakes. There's, how about this one? I didn't even realize we had this until I looked in the pantry this morning. Honey Nut Frosted Flakes, which I've never tried before. Your standard Cheerios, which I'm not a huge fan of. And then Cinnamon Toast Crunch, or Cinnamon Crunch, the generic version. Anyway, we've got 7 different boxes of cereal in this pantry upstairs from where I'm currently sitting talking to you. And I asked everybody on Twitter, you can go check it too, at TheChrisMack on Twitter, if you had to pick one of these, which would it be? And Frosted Flakes, far and away, is in the lead. The old standby of Frosted Flakes. And I'm with you on that. I've been a Frosted Flakes fan since I was old enough to stumble downstairs, make my own bowl of cereal, and turn on Saturday morning cartoons by myself. Cinnamon Toast Crunch, though, is a very close second, and a lot of days, I'll be honest, would take the gold medal from Frosted Flakes. I'm a huge Cinnamon Toast Crunch fan. So those two are at the top of the list. But I've had a few people provide some intrigue. Now, I am extremely curious about going upstairs in 10 minutes and investigating these Honey Nut Frosted Flakes, because I love Frosted Flakes. And I like Honey Nut Cheerios a whole lot more than regular standard Cheerios. That box of standard Cheerios that's sitting there, I got nothing to do with it. I was the kid that when I was forced to eat standard Cheerios as a little one, I would sprinkle like 6 tablespoons of sugar on it and put 2 bananas in it just so I didn't have to taste the actual blandness of the Cheerios. Honey Nut Cheerios, on the other hand, that's Flavor Town as compared to regular Cheerios. So now you're telling me I could take Frosted Flakes and combine it with the joy, the Flavor Town that is the Honey Nut flavor? That is intriguing to me. And as much as I love standard Frosted Flakes, as much as I love Cinnamon Toast Crunch, I'll be real honest. And these are the things we focus on in a pandemic world where you're stuck at home constantly. I have thought greatly over the last 2 hours about what cereal I'm going to have at 9 o'clock. I may do the Honey Nut Frosted Flakes just because of the level of intrigue I have in them now. I feel like I owe that to myself. And then to those who have followed along with the fun on Twitter, maybe some feedback on the Honey Nut Frosted Flakes as well. I'll provide for you later. Thanks to Kevin Gorman for checking in today. Thanks to Josh Taylor for checking in today. Doran Dickerson, glad to hear that they are all healthy and hanging in there at home, taking care of their friends and family and loved ones, like so many of us are as we sit at home during this pandemic and try to keep distant from one another, yet also probably spend more time keeping in touch than we ever have in the past, to be quite honest, as well. One thing I know you're doing, if you're a football fan, particularly a Steelers fan, is you're keeping an eye on what's transpiring through the offseason. It's been really the one thing that's continued pretty much unabated because of the coronavirus pandemic is the NFL offseason. Okay, so they've been limited in the visits they can take with draft prospects. The draft is going to look very, very different, and Roger Goodell is committed to still doing it as of April 23rd through the 25th. But it will look different and be executed differently than it normally is. But the free agency period went on basically as planned. You didn't get any players standing there holding jerseys, shaking hands with the team owners in front of a podium and answering questions from reporters in a big conference style setup, but you did get them on conference calls answering questions, and that really was the only difference, including Derek Watt on a conference call earlier this week. I imagine once it's official, the media will get to talk to Eric Ebron on a conference call. Teams have continued to go through the free agency period in the NFL as if really very little has changed. That includes the Steelers' competition in the AFC North, the Baltimore Ravens in particular. And I mentioned this when Doran was on a couple minutes ago. It feels like the Baltimore Ravens have made this offseason's focus one wholly and entirely in reaction to how they were bumped out of the playoffs. And I get that. You feel like you're the best team in the league, and you feel like you're just rolling along, churning along, and everything's going great. We got the MVP in the making over here, Lamar Jackson. He's doing everything he can, and we're going to get through the divisional round. We're going to host an AFC championship game. We're going to the Super Bowl. And then it all falls apart in one game because Derrick Henry just steamrolls you, right? And so the Ravens have made their focus this offseason seemingly nothing but making over their defensive line. They couldn't get Michael Brockers to agree, but they did make a trade for Calais Campbell, signed him to an extension after getting him from Jacksonville. They did trade Chris Wormley, who was a depth piece on their defensive line, to the Steelers, coincidentally enough, and they let Michael Pierce walk to sign with the Minnesota Vikings. Yesterday, they signed a one-year deal with Derek Wolfe, a defensive end from the Denver Broncos. So the complete and total makeover of their defensive line in Baltimore continues, which is that wasn't their biggest issue, I guess, but you would think that a team, and maybe that's the only hole they see on their roster is the defensive line. They look at that playoff loss to Tennessee and say, hey, that's it. That's the only thing we've got to fix is our defensive line. Let's get that together, and we jump right back to the top of the AFC picture. But it just strikes me as odd that this is yet another team, and we've seen it in the past. Teams lose unexpectedly in the postseason or have their year end unexpectedly fall short of expectations. Yeah, too many words there doing the same thing, Chris. But anyway, and you see them overreact. And you see them focus in, drill down on one need in particular, almost to a detriment of the rest of their roster. And I'm curious to see if that's what happens to the Ravens this offseason. Their owner, for what it's worth, the Baltimore Ravens, saying this past week in an interview for the Ravens website that with everything happening the way it is, he would not be the least bit surprised to see that the next time teams get together is for the opening of training camp in late July. And that certainly seems to make sense because typically you've got a 4 or 5 week window between the time OTAs wrap up in early to mid-June and then training camp starting at the end of July. You've got that 4 to 5 week window where players are free to stay away from work. You know, they have that built in. And I can't imagine there's going to be too many teams that have their facilities open and guys getting together again to work out by early to mid-June. It just seems like even that right now is too much of a gamble given the way everything is trending, especially in some parts of the country and some parts of the world. So while our weekenders are kept from the building, we will continue, us full-timers here at 93.7 The Fan, the Monday through Friday guys, to put in a sixth day of work to help, again, provide you a distraction. And to be quite honest, provides us a little bit of a distraction as well. I'll be back next Sunday morning, I presume, from 7 to 9 a.m. Again, Dan Zangrilli is up next, Colin Dunlap at 11, and then Ron Cook and Joe Starkey will each be on different times this afternoon as well. We appreciate you hanging with us here on 93.7 The Fan, even on a weekend where, I don't know, maybe you're out. Saw a lot of people out cutting the grass yesterday. Maybe it's a little too muddy to do that this morning, given the way things came down, cats and dogs yesterday afternoon and last night. But whatever you're doing, whether you're in the car going to pick up some food for someone, going to check on an older friend or relative, or just literally getting in the car just to drive around the block and get out of the house for a couple of minutes, or listening to us on your smart speaker or on the app, whatever you're doing, we appreciate you hanging with us.